are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, September 15th, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Casual Friday, folks. And we have a live studio audience. Kem Champion in our audience. Also on the program, Cliff Schechter from Cliff Schechter's home. And also joining us to give us a streaming movie recommendation for the weekend, Isabel Gillies will be here. And also, if you're lucky, maybe you'll hear from Kelly. What? Also on the program today, MAGA hats burn, but a DACA deal still unclear. And repeal and replace is not dead. The Graham-Cassidy bill will come to the floor. Facebook helps advertisers sell to Jew haters. And Chelsea Manning gets a Harvard fellowship and then has it revoked. Meanwhile, North Korea sends its second missile in 2 weeks over Japan, and Moochin Minuchin now dissing McConnell. I just can't stop saying Moochin Minuchin. That's why I had to headline that. And Jeff Sessions apparently is getting, what do you call it, multi-cucked? What do you call that? Totally cucked? Multi-cucked? All that and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's Friday. Yes, you've made it through another week in the Donald Trump era. And I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday who said, one of the horrible things about this era is Donald Trump insinuates himself into your daily life in really, like, no other... Certainly no other president or politician ever has. I mean, and it's true. It's exhausting. And today was one of the few days that I can recall where something that he has done, aside from natural disasters, that something he has done was not the top story in some way.
Friday's not over yet.
Friday is not over yet. I'm just saying, like, at this time of day. I'm sure he'll get there, but I mean, the guy is like, I don't know. He's like a neurological disorder. He's just constantly with you. I don't know. Folks, you spend a third of your life in your sheets. Are they taking care of you the way they should be? Introducing brooklinen.com. These are high quality sheets and bedding at a price that won't keep you up at night. Actually, not only do I have a set of these sheets, which I love, my sister bought a pair, and she loves them. And we're thinking about actually getting them for my dad, who, for whatever reason, refuses, like, will only buy sheets, like, once every 20 to 25 years. That's the way he rolls. But he's always complaining that he can't get those, like, crisp, cottony sheets. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't know, like...
A crisp... I mean, I can imagine it.
I'm not saying we go out and get them, send them, like, get starched or anything. I'm saying, like, sheets today, they don't have that like cool. You can get two different types actually with Brooklinen. I got the crisp, cool cotton ones. Founded in April of 2014, Brooklinen offers simple, beautiful home essentials without the luxury price. Apparently, it's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Wow, their sheets have over 12,000 five-star reviews. Plus, they have versatile colors and patterns that complement any decor. We have a beautiful gray on gray, sort of like pinstripe look. We got it for our comforter thing, whatever they call that thing. Duvet, is that what it is? And sheets. This is luxury bedding underpriced. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code MAJORITY at Brooklinen.com. In fact, Brooklinen is so confident you're going to love their new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. That's crazy. That's crazy. Particularly for as long as people in my family keep their sheets. There's no reason not to give these sheets a try. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code MAJORITY at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code MAJORITY. These are the best sheets ever. Brooklinen. All right, so as you know, earlier this week, Donald Trump sat down with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and had Chinese food. And I did see the headline. I can't remember where it was. Maybe this was Frank Rich or something. The headline was, you know, Donald Trump is an independent in the same way that a toddler is an independent. And I think that captures it really well. I mean, there's always been this element to politics that is sort of extremely petty and personal, of course. But Donald Trump, I feel like, has taken this to a new level. The only thing that I have found in my life that gives me any insight to what's going on these days is to watch the dynamics of my 11-year-old, now 12-year-old daughter at school, particularly when she's in a group of friends that, like, three people, if it's like an odd number. And just watch those dynamics as it plays in and out. And then I think you'll understand more what's going on with Donald Trump. There's just like, it's almost like there's like raging hormones and just sort of this desperate, sort of intense desire to be liked and really no sense of proportion. In the case of an 11 or 12-year-old, it's because they're only 11 or 12. They haven't lived a full life. They don't understand, like, you know, certain things are not important. It's okay if, you know, four people don't say hello to you in the halls at school, you know. But at that age, of course.
I'll never forget.
Of course. Of course it's that intense. But it isn't for, but Donald Trump is 70. Maybe there's still time for him to learn this. Probably not. However, his purported deal on the Dreamers, which really is no deal as of yet, but it's certainly, like I said yesterday and the day before, I think, the value in this is, A, if it does become a statute, if we do get a statutory DREAM Act, essentially, or DACA, this is going to be very important for 700,000 to 800,000 people's lives and their family, I guess, as well. I mean, we're talking impact of probably millions of people. And it's going to really tear parts of the Trump coalition apart, which is the Republican Party. If we don't get that, it will still lend to that effect. And here are some examples that have been collected, I guess, on video. I guess we got this from Raw Story. Some folks who are so upset with Donald Trump because he is contemplating allowing people who have lived in this country for the vast majority of their lives to stay here. They're so angry, they're going to burn their own clothes, but not just their clothes, their MAGA hats.
Misty, man.
Here's a guy who's taking a, what I believe is a kitchen torch, which you use to make like a baked Alaska or to caramelize sugar in a flan, something to that effect. And he's slowly attempting to burn his MAGA hat and learning that the MAGA hat is made out of some type of probably very dangerous chemical that will not burn. And he can't quite get it to burn. Oh, there you go. Got to fire that baby up again. All right, let's move on to the next guy. This is, what's the name of this kid? Young gentleman.
That one was just pandas for Trump, and this next one, guy is Nathan Sims.
A guy named Nathan Sims. I mean, his name's not that important. He appears to me to be in his young 20s, early 20s, I should say. Oh, no, this is a different guy. Okay, you put up this guy. This guy just burned it in his trash can. He's got it in there, and he's just shooting a video of it in his trash can, presumably. Yeah, there it is. It's just a quick shot to the aerosol he used to spray it, apparently, and to light it on fire. That's pretty good. That could have worked as a still image, I feel like, on his part. And then here is a young man. What's this guy's name? Let's just go.
Luis.
Luis. And he appears to me to be in his early, if not mid-20s, perhaps, right? I don't know. And he also appears to me, maybe he's in his own home, but it looks to me he's in his, like, his parents' house. In the screened-in porch, and they've got a nice glass table there that he seems to be completely unconcerned about lighting on fire, or at least scorching. And so we'll let him take it from here. He's pretty pissed off.
Not in DACA, to stay in Afghanistan, and to violate several campaign promises leaves me no choice. You have become the swamp. Either drain the swamp, or you will never make America great again.
And he takes a lit candle, lights the hat on fire, tries to. He's finding out it melts more than it actually lights on fire.
They're going to realize any bigger firepower, and the value of these videos is going to go up exponentially.
Yeah. And he's putting it on the table, and he just leaves that big burning stick on it, which is, it's going to leave a mark on that table. Here he is. He's looking now.
Your move.
So he does the your move and signals to cut. And apparently they had no editing skills. So that dramatic your move, which really, you know, should have been a close up at that point, right? We should have zoomed in on that. Your move, Donald Trump. I just burned my own hat in my parents' house. Now it's your move. And then he signals cut. So there are some conservative tears across the country, ladies and gentlemen, as Donald Trump allows people who have been in this country for years and years, who I don't know even are old enough to have committed any type of civil infraction. I don't know if you're under 18, if you can actually, you know, I guess you can be ticketed for something like that. They've been here for years and years. They are required to maintain a profile, let's say, in society that no one else is. They are, there's plenty of data to suggest that they are a huge benefit to this country, but yet people are burning their own clothes because they may stay here. When I would bet weeks ago, none of these people, you had any idea how many of these people were in this country. It so did not impact their lives that they couldn't tell you anything about these people. And now they're burning their own clothes because the idea that these people may stay. good luck with that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Cliff Schechter because, after all, ladies and gentlemen, it's Casual Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been doing this iteration of the show for years. As you know, things change. People come, people go. Sometimes they come and go during the show. But one thing has always remained the same, and that is that Fridays are casual. And then I would say, sort of secondarily, this always happens. Well, not always. This often, more often than not, happens on a casual Friday. This.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter,
LibertasLLC.com. Hello, Cliff Schechter. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are you, Samuel?
I am doing pretty well. School is back in, so the kids are starting to get into a rhythm. And as I assume it's the case for you in Ohio, I bet your kids went back to school in like mid-August, didn't they?
Not quite that early, but yeah, they're like third week in August, and that's weird, man. Growing up in New York, I mean, you're right. Your kids didn't go back till after Labor Day, did they?
That's exactly right. I had three months for summer when I was a kid growing up in New England.
Right. Like, what happened, man?
I don't know. But
I mean, the kids don't seem to be learning anymore.
No.
So it's not working.
No.
But I suppose, no, I don't know. In any case, yes, there's a good rhythm going on. The kids are back in school. You know, I'm doing this podcast, by the way, Sam. You may have heard of it.
I have heard of it. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's called Unprecedented. Unprecedented.
That's right. And so
It's very hard to say.
If people, it is. That's the big problem. But you get the joke. And if people wanted to subscribe, for example, they would go to www.unprecedentedpodcast.com, and that would take them to iTunes, where they can subscribe for free and say wonderful things in the reviews about how much they love it. But if they loved it so much they felt themselves, I can't only listen once a week, I need to listen twice, because I won't know what happened in between. It's like watching a TV series in the old days, you know, you had to wait every week, and then you miss one of them, you don't know what happened. In that case, you have to go to www.patreon.com/unprecedentedpodcast, and for the price of one New York latte a month, you're in.
You have no idea how much a
latte
is.
Many better deals out
here
than that, Sam.
No idea. I would bet you $1 million. You have no idea how much a latte is these days in New York.
I have no fucking clue.
They're through the roof, but I don't.
So my guess is you really can only give up half a latte and still get it.
There you go.
That's what a good deal we are.
Probably a small iced coffee, I would say. But who knows? So check that out, folks. Podcast.com. And I like the fact that you push people directly to iTunes. That's a smart move. Smooth move.
That's what we were told. So I follow what my marketing people tell me.
All right. So, let's talk about this. We are now, over the past 2 weeks, there have been two instances where we now have Pelosi and Schumer making a deal, or maybe making a deal, or insinuating themselves in the relationship between Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. You might say that Ryan and McConnell are getting cucked in a way. I mean, but
if you're on the right, I don't. They are definite cucks. I think you'd have to say that.
So give me your sense of this. What do you make? I mean, obviously, what do you make of the debt ceiling deal, A, and then B, of the potential for a DACA deal, which, you know, who knows? But the damage has been done in terms of the relationship, it seems to me, on some level. But what do you think?
Well, look, I mean, he's never had a good relationship with McConnell and Ryan anyhow, only made, you know, because of things that went on during the campaign and made it supportive when it came out that he liked to make certain kinds of comments about women's genitalia and what he'd like to do. And other things during the campaign, his, you know, that he's not as big a fan of tax cuts for all the richest people like those two guys are. I mean, I guess he is a fan, but it's not like he doesn't lead with what everything he does. He leads with racism and cashes up on the tax cuts. They're the opposite. But it only was made worse when, you know, Trump's the kind of guy who feels like you have to be absolutely loyal to him. We know that. I mean, for his entire life. And it's not just that. If you fail at something, you failed to be loyal to him. So when they didn't get the votes for health care, when they haven't done other things, he blames them. And of course, he's come out publicly and blamed them on Twitter and other places. And we've heard stories about acrimonious phone calls of them screaming at each other, him and McConnell. So that's been happening for a while. And you take Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, you just kind of sneak in there. And in some ways, Trump, not politically certainly, but maybe I'm trying to think of the best way to put this, in terms of his background, has more in common with them. Schumer's a Brooklyn guy, you know, and Trump's a Queens guy. Nancy Pelosi grew up, Nancy D'Alessandro, I believe, in Baltimore. You know, northern cities and outer, what you might call New York, outer borough. I don't know. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just mean, so maybe there's something there. Maybe there's not. Chuck Schumer got caught in a hot mic saying how much he liked Schumer.
Well, actually, let's listen to this. You know, I'm curious about your perspective on this hot mic. I always, whenever I hear hot mics from people who have been in public life for 30 years. I mean, Chuck Schumer,
you're sort of suspicious. It's a purposeful hot mic.
I feel like if there's anybody in our government today who knows more about mics than Chuck Schumer, I wonder who that is. Like, I actually think this guy,
I'm surprised he hasn't married a microphone.
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like, you know, he could do an ad where you know, he blindfolds himself and disassembles a mic and actually builds it back together. He knows so much about
it. I think that could happen.
But here is Chuck Schumer supposedly unaware that a hot mic was picking up what he was saying.
Sorry, just got here. Anything new?
No.
He likes us. He likes me anyway. Look, what we said is exactly accurate. Here's what I told him. I said, Mr. President, you're much better off if you can sometimes step right and sometimes step left. If you have to step just in one direction, you're boxed. He gets that. Oh, it's going to work out, and it'll make us more productive, too.
I'm sorry. Were people able to read that, hear that? Let's redo it, and just so I can be clear and tell people. I'm gonna narrate it. Because you can only hear Chuck Schumer. The other guy is smart enough to muffle his voice for some reason.
Do we know who he was talking to?
I'm not aware if we know who he was talking to.
Okay.
And so Chuck starts off by saying, sorry, just got here. Anything new? And mumble, mumble. Go ahead.
Sorry, just got here. Anything new?
No.
He likes us.
He likes us.
He likes me anyway.
He likes me anyway.
Look, what we said.
Look,
was exactly
what we said was exactly accurate. I love that part. What we said. That's a very colloquial way to say. And
I love it. Exactly accurate.
And he's talking to this guy
exactly
who's whispering
accurate.
To him, and he's being that emphatic. Look, what we said was exactly accurate. I mean, go ahead.
Here's what I told him.
I said, Mr. President, sometimes you're much better off if you can sometimes step right and sometimes step left. If you have to step in one direction, you're boxed.
He gets that.
Oh, it's going to work out, and it's going to make us more productive, too.
And then he continued where he said, where's that guy? I told him to get me the fucking pastrami.
Well,
does he have it?
Here's the thing. This is, seems to me, for, you know, and I don't know how much I love the politics of this, although, you know, I understand Chuck Schumer's playing his game. He's letting, you know, folks like Bernie and Elizabeth Warren and others play their game on some level. But Chuck Schumer's game here is basically like, I'm going to say this so that Chris Saliza at The Washington Post hears it. And it's basically
orgasm.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, look, nobody's listening to us now. So what I want you to know that how we represented that conversation was completely accurate. No games being played there. And I'll tell you this, all I care about is us being productive and doing something for the American public. I mean,
he gets that seemed made especially for Trump too. Like, oh, he gets it.
Oh yeah. No, Trump is totally smart about this stuff. He's really impressive.
Play to, like, Trump's fragile ego and easily gullible self. Like, he gets it. He's really a smart guy.
And,
yeah, go ahead.
That this is, you know, wow, Chuck Schumer was so fortunate to have this perfect assemblage of sentences recorded. And it's almost as if we had to look inside, and Chuck Schumer's super sincere about this stuff. And with that said, I totally endorse it. If it was real, I totally endorse it. If it was not real, I totally endorse it. Whatever. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
That's the way I feel too. I mean, I certainly I'm always suspicious of their, you know, that. I mean, in Chuck Schumer, as you said, I mean he knows his way around a green room. So the thing is that easily it could have been on purpose. Even if it wasn't, I mean, I think a lot of what he was saying is probably true. Again, I mean, Trump is also someone, as you noticed, who, and you always sort of heard this stuff about him during the campaign, his business, which is why it's always chaos around him, is he expects complete loyalty, but he's never loyal to anybody else. They're switching loyalties depending upon who he's mad at, you know, who he feels like is failing at what they're doing, you know, which is why people like Scaramucci end up lasting for 10 days. So in the end, the fact that he could have been calling Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi in a tantrum names on Twitter, you know, 2 months ago or whatever it was, but now be working with them, that's how this guy works. It's not surprising at all. You add in, is this the influence of someone like Kelly coming in as chief of staff? I don't know, maybe, because he's not a political person either in terms of a partisan political person. And he realizes that, you know, having a more common sense than Trump, that nothing's getting done, that they aren't passing anything. And if you want to play to Trump's ego, just say, do you want some wins, sir? here's how you can get some wins. Go and do this. You work with Democrats on the debt ceiling, you'll get a win. You work with them on DACA, you'll get a win. And frankly, you're on the wrong side of 80% on that issue. You know, the question is, obviously, are you alienating where your right-wing base not come out? I mean, you have crazy Ann Coulter calling for him to be impeached, although she's like Trump is. She has fits of insanity and then, you know, comes back. But then you've got in between musing about, you know, the incredibly sexy cantaloupe calves of Mexicans crossing the border. You now have Steve King ripping into Trump and on Twitter. You have, you know, Laura Ingraham in language not used since the last time Wayne and Garth were in the movie theater. If you saw her tweet, I mean, but basically all these guys are you know, coming out and attacking him now. Will that be a long-term thing? I don't know. I mean, look, all he needs to do is what he did the other day and refuse to take sides in Charlottesville again.
Well,
he probably warms Ann Coulter's heart once again. So, I mean,
yep.
You know.
I think that's actually, we have that audio. I think you're absolutely right about this. Trump makes this move, and we should say this about DACA, right? There was an analysis of the 2016 presidential election by a Hamilton College political scientist, a guy named Philip Klinkner. And he found that among 2016 Trump voters, 67% supported building a southern border wall. 80% said speaking English was very important to being American, yet still voted
even
for
Trump. Even though 70% of that 80% couldn't really speak English or spell themselves.
Particularly well, but right. And 80% were opposed to letting Syrian refugees into the United States. But among the same voters, 68% said child migrants brought illegally who have been here 10 years and have graduated from high school should be allowed to stay in the country. That's what dreamers are. So, Donald Trump obviously has these numbers, too. Maybe that's what's going on. But you're right. I think this audio of Trump, for some reason, bringing up Charlottesville again, I think this is a function of him. This is Donald Trump triangulating in his mind.
Yes.
And it's his basically saying, like, I'm getting this DACA thing is bad. And now people probably heard the story about how I dressed down Jeff Sessions and I'm losing the Laura Ingrahams. Let me just remind my base that at the end of the day, I may forgive a couple of people, but at the end of the day, I'm with you.
I'm still a racist like that.
Here we go.
I think especially in light of the advent of Antifa, if you look at what's going on there, you know, you have some pretty bad dudes on the other side also. And essentially, that's what I said. Now, because of what's happened since then with Antifa, you look at, you know, really what's happened since Charlottesville. A lot of people are saying, in fact, a lot of people have actually written, gee, Trump might have a point. I said, you got some very bad people on the other side also, which is true.
There you go. So it was just basically...
Does anybody know, by the way, do you know anybody who's written that? The same right-wingers who supported him the first time around probably did.
I think you go to the Daily Caller, and I'm sure you can find a lot of people who wrote that.
They were with him originally, so they haven't written since. They haven't been convinced, like, oh, we didn't think Antifa was bad, but now I'm seeing that, and I'm going to... I mean, obviously, it's Trump. He makes shit up like,
right.
You know, you eat breakfast. So, but I think that's it, right? Is in his sort of mind, he feels like he can just go back and still stick to it when it comes to being a racist. And all the support from him is much more emotional than policy-based anyhow. And so he'll win people back doing that. In the meantime, he gets some glowing reviews from the usual stupid people at certain newspapers. Like, oh, look, he's pivoting. He's being completely reasonable now. Will that any of that work? I don't know.
All right. So
I guess we'll have to see if the base is still fired up. I still think people on the left are still going to be fired up to come out and vote against him.
Right.
I don't think this is going to make it better because DACA was, you know, because that was solved. And in the end, I think I'll just say quickly, let's just remember that unlike the debt ceiling, you know, DACA, we're talking about kids' lives here. So, and not only, you know, people whose lives would be destroyed. So however that comes to a good conclusion is a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. And I think there is a sense that, like, you from a policy standpoint, if there can be some type of Dream Act, that's good.
Yes.
But let me ask you this: do you think two different things? One, do you think that electorally, in terms of 2018, this is a smart move for the Democrats? And you know, maybe subsequently 2020, but let's say 2018. And secondarily, do you think that maybe there was that leverage was given away by letting him off the hook with just a Dream Act, or making an agreement less, you know, going out and you know, making sure that the sort of the political sting was there before there was something sort of more, I don't know, developed.
Well,
go ahead.
I still, so I mean, my thoughts overall is he still took a beating on DACA. You know what I mean? For an extended period of time in the media, and so for people who don't pay that close attention, who, you know, that I would think might stick with them. I would think. In some of the, if you're talking about electorally in 18, some of these districts, and there are a decent number of them, where there's at least 20-30% Latina voting population, especially in California and Florida, a few of them in Texas, and you know that are winnable for Democrats. I think, you know, whether his joining the Democrats on this will sort of defang the opposition, I think really somewhat depends on what he does from here on in. You know, and the thing is about him is that. It seems like his instincts are always to go back to racism, and even, you know, with it doesn't seem they are. And the tweet that, no, the wall is still coming. We're still going to, you know, he's still going to find ways to say, we've got to have more border security because all the rapists coming across the border. I just think, you know, that cake is sort of baked already. I could be wrong, but I really, and I'd have to look at more polling over the next sort of year. But I mean, I really do think if you're somebody who's Latino or Latina, you kind of realize he hates you by now. He's made that pretty clear. I don't think suddenly that a deal's reached on DACA, I don't think that makes you think he likes you more. But right. I could be wrong about that. I mean, you know, I really do think that there's such antipathy for him at this point. And again, he's keeping up on all the other tracks, like he just did with Charlottesville, that still just enrage people. And I don't see him changing, you know, in that way. So, yeah, you know, I don't think he's gonna help himself much. And I still think there's a serious headwind in some of those districts, especially where you get someone like, you know, Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, who's retiring in a district where Hillary Clinton beat Trump by 20 points or so. And the only reason they were holding on to that district was literally because of her popularity. You know, she's very moderate on a number of issues, LGBTQ issues and others. And she's going to be gone. And I think districts like that are going to be very tough for the Republicans. No matter what he does on this now.
All right. Well, let's turn to what's happening on the Democratic side. And we should also mention Graham Cassidy. This is Lindsey Graham's bill that essentially would block grant Medicaid, cut Medicaid. Really, in many respects, destroy Medicaid as part of an Obamacare fix, I guess. It is
same crappy stuff in a different outfit, basically.
Yeah, and it's been sent to the CBO. It it repeals Obamacare's both individual and employer mandates. It repeals the medical device tax. And
again, those mandates are the key thing. That's what screws up the entire,
right.
The entire,
it doesn't
the exchanges. And yeah,
I don't,
you're not going to cover people with pre-existing conditions if you're not bringing in healthier populations to make up for it.
Right. And I'm not sure of the other provisions because they basically kept, I think a lot of it, under wraps. I'm not clear if there's some sort of notion that it will, shore up the exchanges in some way. But this is going to be scored by the CBO. They're going to try and introduce it by midweek, the last week in September. Remember, the last eligible day for a reconciliation version of this law is bill, I should say, is September 30th, because according to the Senate parliamentarian, that's when the resolution expires that allows for them to have a reconciliation bill. So this has to happen in the next 2 weeks. So that's part of the backdrop. People should not lose, should keep their eye on the prize, and head over to Indivisible has got some stuff that's written up about this, or however you put pressure on your lawmakers, do so now about this, this bill, because this would be devastating to Medicaid. And, you know, all we need to do is just slow the roll for a couple weeks. And
Hold them off.
Meantime, you have Bernie Sanders releasing his Medicare for All bill with 16 other Democratic caucusing senators, which is pretty stunning.
That's a pretty big deal.
It's a big deal. And what's your sense of this? I mean, because there has been... It's been interesting. You know, I went back and forth with Bill Scheer on Twitter a bit today. I had mentioned his piece last week. Well, no, it was perfectly civil.
I'm kidding. You guys have... No, I'm kidding. But what was his piece last week? I may have missed it. I don't know. What was it?
Well, his piece was... And it wasn't... It was this week. His piece, and I think I had it up here. His piece basically argued, like, hey, there's a lot of pitfalls here, and... we shouldn't promise something we can't deliver. Why should Democrats shouldn't organize against around something like this? Things like climate change or infrastructure are less divisive in some ways.
He really did say that. That I couldn't disagree with more. Climate change is not less divisive.
Well, less divisive amongst. I think his argument is it's less divisive amongst Democrats.
Oh, okay, that may be true. Yeah,
and
but that's the thing is, I think on that Bill is a little bit behind, because I just, again, you know, this is what I always try to say. Why I always believe in what I believe in, which is you push forward and you make progress. Which is, you know, eventually a lot of these guys, when it became a point where culturally they had to, were going to come around. You know, I mean, I saw Joe Manchin the other day was saying he supported it, right? I mean, unless that was
well, he said I think he was single payer curious. I think I would say
single payer curious.
But this is the way this is the way the bill ended. It was. He's talking about the importance of ending the immigration system that's created millions of second-class citizens. Yet this week, Democrats risk blunting that momentum by diving back into the healthcare cauldron. Crumbling infrastructure risks lives and drags down the economy. Unaffordable early education and higher education exacerbates inequality. The opioid crisis is devastating communities. The globalized automated gig economy fuels economic anxiety and insecurity. But healthcare... That's a battle Democrats have waged for three decades, paid enormous political prices, and somehow managed to come out ahead. The Affordable Care Act is still standing. For Pete's sake, Democrats pocket the win and move on. And here's the thing that I was saying yesterday about this bill that I think is that where Bill Scheer is off on this, and this type of criticism is off. The beauty of this bill is that And certainly Sanders has signaled it by signing on to Schatz's bill and saying we should shore up the Affordable Care Act, is that there's a certain amount of, I don't want to say incrementalism, but step-by-step building process that is built into this goal. People are going to be happy if the Medicare age drops to 50. People are going to be happy if Medicare just covers 18 and younger. This is not, and in fact, I think the thing that really divided the Democrats about the Affordable Care Act was that there was this attitude of, we did it, now we won, let's move on to something else, where nobody bought into that thinking this would be the end-all be-all. Nobody felt that way. And so to say, and even, look, we now know, and I think everybody would concede, there's a lot of problems with the Affordable Care Act that need to be fixed. And there's no reason to believe the Republicans are going to be any more amenable to fixing those than they would be to dropping the age of Medicare to 55. And so,
entirely true.
And once you drop the age of Medicare to 55, you are that much closer to the aspirational bill that we're talking about. And then you see people like Catherine Rampell in the Washington Post. Fair enough. She doesn't perceive herself maybe as a Democrat, or at least, you know, publicly. And this idea that somehow she wrote this piece that was, it's, you know, Democrats used to own the let me just read from this. She wrote about Republicans with their hollow promises. Thanks to the grand old party's demagoguery, Democrats have for a little while enjoyed a virtual monopoly on facts, evidence, and experts. Dems, or some of them anyway, embrace serious solutions based often technical policymaking and the hard choices that went along with it. But the lesson Democrats seem to have taken from the 2016 electoral trouncing is they need to become more like Republicans, meaning abandon thoughtful, detail-oriented bean counting and attempts to come up with workable solutions grounded in occasionally unpopular reality, and instead chant virtue-signaling catchphrases. I think she should be reminded that the Democratic Party has never had less political power in at least her lifetime and mine and beyond.
Right.
And that if anything is going to be done on all the things that Bill Scheer talks about, climate change, infrastructure, immigration, I could go on and on and on. It's only going to happen if Democrats get elected to office. And it is quite clear that climate is not a motivating factor to get Democrats elected, as much as I regret that. But we have a denier who is
people
the president
understand
of the United States.
On a much more personal level, their health care.
Exactly. And infrastructure. Maybe that's a sexy winner. Maybe, but not for Bernie Sanders. And there's nothing stopping any other member of the Democratic caucus from going out there and trying to take over the political moment by coming out there with a bold infrastructure program. There's nothing out there. And so this is I don't even know how to characterize this type of critique about a bill that could not in any shape or form ever reach the floor of the United States Senate. I mean, I guess conceivably, right? I mean, we could have like a mass bus accident and maybe some, but assuming that we don't have that, we're talking about something that's not going to happen for at least 4 or 5 years. And it's stunning to me. And Bernie Sanders already signaled, like, we can do this piecemeal. The bill itself is built into a piecemeal thing. And if, like, oh my God, what if it's like, we're going to do this instead of over 4 years, over 8 years? I mean, this is.
Here's the thing. I mean,
really,
it's not
criticism.
First of all, the history of all this is not exactly what it's being portrayed as. Richard Nixon was ready to go with a universal health care bill that wasn't all that different than Obamacare. And for Teddy Kennedy at the time, which he later said he regretted, he decided that wasn't enough when he was going to push for universal health care, which is great that he was going to. I just think he should have accepted that first and then kept pushing for, a Medicare for all type bill. That's the first thing. So it's not to say, oh, everybody who has ever failed, they actually got there to where the Republicans were conceding this a couple decades ago, more than that. Second, you know, and that's important on this. So it's not like it's, oh my God, it's dragged and destroyed everybody. The reason why Obama was destroyed by this, which is something we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, is because he didn't sell the popular aspects of it. The more the Republicans attacked Obamacare, and yeah, there are problems with Obamacare, but the more they attacked some of the specifics that they were going to take away from people, like Medicaid and other things, and the more people found out, oh, that's Obamacare that does that, the more popular Obamacare became. Because the government programs that these guys are turning to boogeymen are actually pretty damn popular. which is the to me, the smart thing about this is you're running on Medicare for All, which is what I've always thought they should do, as opposed to just saying single payer or whatever, because it means something to somebody. It's a brand. People get that Medicare actually is efficient, works, and is very popular. And so the truth of the matter is that you know, doing this now, and as you're saying, it's not like it's going to become law, but what's been so bad about the Democrats, from whether, you know, Obama selling Obamacare afterwards, even Hillary selling Hillary Care back in the 90s and the rest, is that we've always thought that, you know, that we give them the specifics, give them the wonk, you know, and they'll get it. People will just get that's better, even with Republicans and Chamber of Commerce types and others attacking it constantly, making things up and blowing up little things that are unimportant. The truth is that you need an aspirational message, and Medicare for All is that. You know, that is the equivalent of build a wall, except for it's not demagoguery, it's not whatever, but it's an aspirational message on our side that says what we're about, the way building a wall says what they're about. And we don't usually do that and give people an overall idea of what it is we're about. And that's become a huge problem over the years. So, you know, I mean, I respect Bill's work. I just disagree with him hugely on this one. I don't think it does. And you're not pocketing a win when these damn bills keep coming back up like Graham Cassidy. We've learned that in the past, too. You need to give people an alternative. The alternative is, if you want everybody to have Medicare, you know, this great program that's efficient and popular, whatever, or would you like to be screwed by another one of these you know, full of shit Republican bills that end up taking away your health care? You give them a choice. So I don't know. In every way, you know, the ground has moved on this. Bernie certainly was a big part of that, as have been some other Democrats along the way. And we were always moving towards there. And frankly, these things, when you strip out the Republican language and bullshit, these things actually poll really well.
Absolutely.
So good for us for once actually doing something smart.
There's obviously, it's going to be very difficult to implement. I mean, first off, that's why the political argument to me just seems almost borderline bizarre. The argument that you're promising, you're over promising, and you're not going to deliver, and that is a very dangerous place to be in. And Bill tweeted to me, today's enthusiasm or passion can turn into tomorrow's bitter disappointment. That is true. Broadly speaking, but the problem that the Republicans had with the repeal and replace, and it's yet to be seen that that wasn't a net benefit, right? Like getting rid of Obamacare, they ran on that for 8 years. I would rather be in their position right now than in the Democrats' position. Talk to Neil Gorsuch. Talk to every other federal judge that it's just going to blow right through. So. I mean, even the analysis that this has come back to bite them more severely than it paid in benefits for them over the years. But the fact is that it is not a you know, when September 30th comes, repeal and replace is dead as a doornail. There is no subsidiary. There is no retreat position for the Republicans to take. There's no half a sandwich for them to deliver. But with Medicare for All, there are half sandwiches, three-quarter sandwiches, 7/8 sandwiches, right, all through the way that will benefit more and more, progressively more and more people. And if you say this is our goal, then you never pocket the win. Or you pocket the win and then you go for the next win. You don't go and say,
that's right,
we're done. And that's the argument that Bill.
Additionally,
seems to
politically,
be making. It's very strange.
People who understand Medicare well and often are on it are some of the people that Democrats have been losing, and maybe perhaps just perhaps you win back some people you've been losing, because part of Medicare for All is also you're standing up for
and look,
Medicare.
It's going to be hard when people find out what the taxes are involved in this. It's going to be hard. There's no doubt you're going to have a very hard sell, but. Part of that is also to go out there and start spending the time saying, this is how government helps you. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why it's such a hard sell to raise taxes to where it was for the vast majority of the 20th century is because we've had a series of Democratic candidates and presidents who have made the argument that government is, not quite an obstacle, but sort of an obstacle.
No, and can do some good things, but sort of like government can help sometimes, but you know, have fallen into sort of the trap we've, you know, all policy's been in to a certain degree since Reagan, when he redefined all this stuff. And I think that Medicare for All is part of redefining the, you know, what the New Deal did, you know, and the Great Society did, and standing up and saying, these are our aspirations. You're not going to always get there. LBJ didn't get to national health care. That's what his goal was.
Right.
But guess what? He ended up with Medicare and Medicaid. Pretty damn good, right?
Yep.
Helped a whole lot of people. So, you know, it'll be the same on climate change. I mean, again, you know, what is it? I think, was it Mario Cuomo, the good one? You campaign in poetry, right? But you govern in prose. I mean, this is the poetry of going out and saying, here is what our values are. We're going to communicate that through this messaging and what we stand for. And then we're going to do our best when it comes time to govern to get there in every way possible. And I think that's beyond this. You should be doing that with infrastructure and with climate change and with many other issues. There's messages for those too.
Yep.
That would remind people of the past. Maybe you'll even remind some Democrats who sadly now are Republicans and vote for Trump and whatever, who once were, you know, liked people like LBJ, to come on back. I don't see it as a bad thing. I'm not saying none of this stuff's ever easy. And Republicans will jump all over the taxes, and that's why you have to message it and you have to market it. And you can't just assume because it's good policy that everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, that sounds good, the way too many damn Democrats have done.
Cliff?
I don't know. That's my feeling.
Yeah, no, I feel good about this week now. I feel good about this week. I feel like I haven't said that. I have not said that very often. I mean, I said it about my vacation.
That's probably
involved,
because you paid no attention to any of this.
I was just
going to
say that involved a tremendous amount of denial. So, with my eyes wide open, I say this is a good week. And Cliff, thank you for wrapping it up. We will talk to you now. Oh, I'm not sure if I'll be here next week because of Rosh Hashanah, but if not, I'll let you know. I gotta figure out what the schedule is. But if not. L'Shana Tova. I'll do that a little bit early. How's that?
Yeah.
Our secret code word that people can only find out what we said if they buy an ad on Facebook.
They can find those Jew haters. Yeah.
All right, Cliff.
They're a fun group.
I'll talk to you soon. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Cliff Schechter, ladies and gentlemen. Cliff Schechter. Now, should we play the Jimmy Reefer Cake song right now? Or I think we'll talk to Isabel and then we'll play it. All right, so let's do a little bit of music, and I will be getting Isabel Gillies on the phone. Never really realized that how apropos that Cure song was on a Friday. And during the break, Kem Champion, who is sitting in on the show today, who you may know from the IMs, or from phone calls as well, and an interview back in the day. That's right. Kem Champion was like, you know, all Donald Trump's brand is about making the deal, and Republican voters don't care about policy. That's all true. And I would even go in further. Like, sometimes I follow on Twitter that Bill Mitchell guy, that's sort of crazy. And he, what is fascinating about that guy is that Trump never, ever, ever does anything wrong, never makes a mistake. Like, he is now totally in favor of reestablishing DACA, where like a week ago he was like, we got to get rid of it. I mean, it's, and he does it without seemingly, it's almost like he's a like a an amnesia victim and every day is anew, but every day is not anew. And I'm glad about that, because if every day was anew and we got stuck on, let's say, a Tuesday or a Monday, we would never hear this theme song.
Today is Casual Friday. Let us welcome Isabel Gillies to the show. She's going to recommend a movie or two to watch on Netflix. It's the only way I know.
Listen to the picks from Isabel.
IsabelGillies.com.
Oh, that was pre-2016 primary Jimmy Reefer Cake, when he was in his probably one of his greatest musical periods, where he would make such beautiful songs as that. Isabel, how are you?
Oh, Sam, well, I'm good. We missed the last one.
I know.
We missed the last one. I feel like I haven't been here in a long time. Now,
it's been too long.
Gone.
It's been way too long.
What's that all about? I know. It's been too long and a lot has happened. I've aged. I've grown up. It's like
really?
I became an adult.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to tweet that I was on.
In a matter of, well, that is very, very immature of you not to have tweeted. Wait, so what happened? How did you age? What do you mean you became an adult?
Here's what happened. Over the summer, okay, so everybody, I haven't been on and since June, and so it was the whole summer.
Right.
And the kids were away. For a while, the kids were away, and I was up at my parents' house, and Peter was working, and it was only the dogs and me. And all I did was write.
Mm.
I'd get up, I'd write for 4 hours, and then I would finish, I'd edit a little in the afternoon. It was like unbelievable. I haven't done that in a long time. So that was good.
When did you ever do that? When did you ever have the opportunity to just write?
Well, no, I never have. But in some books, I've gone to the library. And my first book, there was no Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay.
Now everything, there can be Wi-Fi everywhere. But my first book, in the library, there was no Wi-Fi. So it was kind of like, that was when I would drop, that was actually interesting, because I would drop the kids off at school myself physically, because they were so little. That's when we were going to school together. And then I'd peace out, go to the library, and then come back for pickup. So the entire school day I was writing.
Oh, that's good.
But now I don't have to drop them off. So then I think, okay, I'm just going to stay at home and write, because why go anywhere? But that can get into trouble, because then
internet,
I can, you know, clean
right.
Internet. And then the election totally threw everyone off. We've already talked about that.
I'm still trying to lose weight from that one single night, actually. I think I ate like 14 pizzas and drank a bottle of bourbon.
Do you know that I wish I had a gift? I'm all into gifts. I'm like so about the GIF. I'm such a nerd because my
But you're also
like,
a time traveling nerd, because those were big like 3 or 4 years ago. I think maybe like 7 years ago.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. But I'm just, here I am in gift land, and I'm so amused at myself. And I actually just sent a gift, because what happens is you can put
just
in
got
the
into
gift.
Gifts.
Yeah, in it's true.
It's like,
but it's
I just got
it's
into
right.
those Chinese handcuffs that you put your fingers in and you pull it out and it tightens up. Those things, yeah. Pet rocks.
So can I just tell you what,
yes,
what happened?
I'm sorry.
I just did what I did was I was texting with somebody and I put the little, you know, search gift drive on, and then you can put any word in there and then all the gifts come up. And Mariska's, there was a Mariska gif, and it made me laugh so hard.
Mariska Hargitay, who is
Hargitay.
Yeah. Who was the lead on
Who is the lead?
Oh, is this show still on?
Oh my gosh, yes.
It is?
Season, I think. Uh-huh.
What? Wait, do you still appear on it?
She's like the biggest star in the world. No, because my husband on the show left, so I left. But you never know, maybe I'll come back.
Why can't you come back? I mean, so okay.
I'd love to come back.
All right. Well, noted. And so wait,
how
so
fun.
What
would
was her
be?
What was her meme? That would be great.
Anyway, it was so funny, this gift thing, and it was her rolling her eyes, or it was just sort of like, oh no, 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 that kind of look. And so then I thought I was so proud of myself, that was funny. We're such good friends, so I love using her as a gift. I texted her, oh my God, I just used you as a gift. And then I thought, oh my gosh, what if I'm a gift? And I searched myself, and I'm not.
So wait a second.
That is the saddest day when you search yourself. You get the idea that you're a GIF. I was like, you know what? I really might be a GIF. And then I searched it, and there was no Isabel Gillies GIF.
Oh, that is
and
the saddest
that
thing.
That is sad.
But wait a second. We started this 5 minutes ago, maybe 10 minutes ago now. You sang that you finally feel like an adult. And is it a function of that found out? Now that you found out you're not a GIF, you can now move into adulthood.
Well, no, I'll tell you that's the real serious thing. But what got me on the GIF thing was that on election night, it was just the boys and I watching, and I wish there was a GIF of me sitting with the boys being like, because we had just been at the polls, and I was like, boys, you're young and you don't get what a big deal it is that we're about to have a female president, but we are, and it's the best thing that ever happened, and like that was all the polls. And then late, you know, cut to, and that would have been a great gift.
Ooh.
Because it boo with like the 3-gallon glass of wine. I was like, you know, F this glass when it started going down.
Kids,
let's
go to your room. You don't want to see mom this way.
Children, well, you know, like California wins. And I'm like, okay, let's go to bed.
Oy. I remember getting texts that night from Myla. I don't know. I remember getting texts from Myla like, I'm really scared. What's going on? Don't worry, sweetheart. It's all going to be fine when you're 20.
Yeah, well,
maybe.
We hope.
All right,
yeah,
so wait, how did you become an adult this summer? You just found out, I don't understand. You found
out,
you discovered the GIF.
Here's why. My beloved father, who's fine now, just everybody knows he's fine. He's 83 or 84, and everything's fine. So but about 5 years ago, he had a stroke, and it was fine. I didn't know that there could be a mini stroke, but there can. And you can recover. And he did. But he had to be on Coumadin, which is blood.
Okay.
He had this very tiny little vein in his nose that had broken. And so he was bleeding. So that for about 3 weeks or like 10 days or something, he was kind of bleeding out, and he would get nosebleeds and then emergency ferries.
Coumadin is
island.
A blood thinner so that you don't get a stroke, but it also has the problem that it can sort of, I guess, not replicate hemophilia, but more or less.
Sort of.
Right. Make it hard for your blood to clot if you have some type of.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was dangerous, and I was the only kid there. And my mother was there, but it was. But my father always before this said, oh, you're in the sandwich years. Like when your kids need you and your parents need you. And it's, so you're in the sandwich. And I was like, oh, here it is. Here's the sandwich. Dad looks like he's going to die because he really did. And I was like dealing with that and helping him. And that was hard, man. It is, you know, you don't know until you know, but dealing with an older parent who's, by the way, he's the mayor of the town. He's like the selectman. He's the official elected. It's not just like, oh, he's the mayor. He is the mayor. He's like the selectman.
Okay.
So he's an active person in the community. And he's bringing broadband internet to the islands, which is like the equivalent of bringing electricity to the islands, to rural areas. Anyway, he's the man. And, you know, he ran for city council here in New York when, you know, in the early
80s. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, Arch Gillies, city council at large.
All right.
He was on the front of the bus.
I wasn't here, and if I was, I would have voted for him, but okay, so.
Yeah, you would have, because he's progressive and awesome.
No, I like your dad.
Yeah, dad's awesome. Anyway, he was sick, and then I had teenagers in the house, and they were being teenagers, which, you know, when you mix that 15, 16, 14 with summer and, you know, all the crazy stuff that kids can get into, it is harrowing. Mm. Harrowing. Booze, drugs. Not that they were doing it. I'm not going to say that one way or the other, but
okay.
I will say
they were doing it.
It went into fifth. It went from like, hey, Mom, can you guys take us to Wonder Woman? To like, you know, like Greg Allman. I was living with like an Allman brother.
Wow.
I was like, what the fuck?
Wait. I don't think you mean Greg Allman. I mean, that would have been like you're living with a lot of old people.
No, I like
young Greg Allman. Okay.
Like, you know, a young whoever. I can't think of rock stars that aren't 70.
No, I have the same problem.
Who's a rock star?
Britney Spears? I don't know.
No, she's old.
Some guy from Maroon 5. Is that still big? I don't know.
Yeah, he's old too. That guy's our age.
Oh, Jesus.
I think that guy is, I like that Maroon 5.
I don't know.
See, we're so old. Everything we say sounds old and nerdy.
So old.
And
so
unwoke.
Believe me.
And do you know that I went into a Chinese restaurant with my kids the other day, and I was so excited because it opened, and I never knew what a hot pot was, and it's sort of like you can pick anything, and then they cook it for you, and I'd never been in that kind of place, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so exciting. What is this? What is it? And I was like looking at it. It was completely filled with Chinese people because it's a lot of Chinese restaurants have opened around Columbia and whatever. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. What is that? And my kids were dying. They were like, Mom, stop it. Stop it. Like, I was the most unwoke just because I was excited about
Chinese food.
That was the Chinese food. And I was white and it looked like I was being like, oh, look at the.
Oh, I see. I mean, your kids may have had a point. I mean.
Well, I know, but I was just excited.
My goodness. Now, look at this. They eat with two different pieces of wood. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I just, you know, when I'm
Excuse
writing
me,
my book,
are you folks aware of a fork? Isabel, you there?
Please don't slam me.
No, I'm just,
I can't take it.
I'm still
I was offering up my unwokeness to you. So
no, I understand.
Right.
I'm not judging it. I'm just like, I'm trying to, for the audience, I'm trying to elaborate on what the kids might have been thinking. I mean, you got to remember, I still have a toddler. So, you know, I'm still with it. I'm totally with it.
Oh my God, the kids were so embarrassed. They were like, Mom, I swear to God, stop it. And I was like, I am not doing anything. I'm just excited. And they were like, well, would you stop it? Because it's embarrassing us.
Oh,
I embarrassed
God.
Them all over the place. It doesn't matter that I like had some 11th banana roll on TV that, like, you know, that's gone. No one
thinks
that's cool
well
anymore.
Past, right.
Oh, well past. You know, they used to, some of their friends used to watch SVU and they'd be like, oh my gosh, your mom's so cool. And I was like, huh. But no, that's gone.
I hang on to Bob's Burgers. Like that, like one or two Hugo's that I do a year is the only thing that, I mean, that is.
Sam, I hang on to your role on Bob's Burgers. I do. I'm not kidding. You think I'm kidding? But I have dined out on the fact that I know you and you're on Bob's Burgers with the you know, the
anytime,
young teen
anytime
crowd.
Those kids act up, you call me, put me on speaker, and I will dress them down as Hugo. The other, when
honest
Myla
to God,
had.
But I will take you up on it.
Myla had four or five girls sleep over for her birthday, and Benjamin was there, John Benjamin, who is Bob. Bob's Burgers.
Yes, I know. I know that.
Apparently, two of the girls are huge Bob's Burgers fans. And so Myla had John just come up to the table where they were eating and, at our dinner table or whatever, dining room table. We don't have a dining room. I don't know what you call them now these days. But Where they were eating pizza. And he just went over and leaned over the girls and said, "Hi, girls. How are you?" as Bob's Burger. And both the girls went into like such a state of shock that I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to have to call their parents. Like, I'm worried that they were going to have some type of like aneurysm. And then it's like, oh, the Cedars didn't give out gift bags at the end of the party. Whatever. Bob was there from Bob's Burgers.
Bob was there.
And well, it's
seriously,
huge.
It's like gold. It is cool person, mom, parent gold.
You know,
but I can't, I'm not even on it. I've begged to be on that damn show. I don't know how to, you know, what I can do.
Believe me, you don't know the amount of begging I have to do to get on just twice a year now. And that was in the pilot,
God.
For God's sakes. But wait a second. So none of this explains why you feel like you're an old person. Is it because you're in the sandwich?
Because, well, here's the thing. After the.
Don't you feel older if you're in an open face sandwich?
No, because experience, what you realize, you're like, oh, God. I mean, I used to sort of have this, I don't know, like I'm still 17 or, you know, sort of devil may care. I never once, this is going to somehow come out wrong, but like I never made dinner in my bathing suit. You know that sort of like, hey, it's summer, it's hot, we've all been down on the dock, beach, whatever, and I'm just now, oh, it's already 6, I'll make dinner. And you're like still in your bathing suit. I always felt like I'd like got dressed for the day and I was dealing and it was like, oh my God, are you drunk? Are you sick? Are you?
Hold on for a second. In this fantasy world where you're making dinner in your bathing suit, is it like, is it involved like oil, like olive oil? Like, I'm just saying like,
no,
that's where it gets
just,
very dangerous because
just,
that splatters and you're in a bathing suit. You are scarred for life, all over your body.
No, you might like dash in and like, you know, oh, hold on, let me turn on the water for the corn on the cob, but we're still having fun and the kids are on the beach and like, yay, and here are your floaties, all of that gone. It's sort of like, now we're dealing with Snapchat and like, and I hate Snapchat. Can I just say that? I hate it. And I tried to write a letter to the creators. In fact, in my notes thing on my iPhone, there is a real letter that says, "Dear creators of Snapchat, I want to sue you." I wanted to sue them. And how am I going to sue Snapchat? But I still want to.
All right. I'll make a note of that. In the event that I hear of anything going on, any type of like.
I want to sue them because they create, their app creates. Kids feel so badly about themselves and they have these like group chats but only 20 people can be on them and so then some people can't and then they make other
you
chats.
You gotta get Party House or whatever it is that Myla has now where it's like 12 people on video chat.
Yeah, well, you know what you should do?
Myla went
to
camp this year. Myla
iPhone.
Went to camp for I have like literally 3 different mechanisms that shut it down. You know, and I time it out and she hates it. But when she went to camp, you know, Y camp, YMCA camp for 2 weeks. And I was like, you should go for four. You went 2 weeks last year and you really loved it. And I think the reason why she didn't want to go for four is because she was afraid of being away from her Snapchat streaks for 4 weeks because they don't let her use her phone there.
And then the streaks die. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. No, no. I was so. And then the Atlantic came out with this great article that, and I can't know the name of the author to give her credit, but it was, she called the kids from that are like my age kids. They're called iGen because they grew up with the iPhone, and they are in a mental health crisis because of it.
Oh, I think teenagers, I saw that piece. Was that the person who like studies generations?
Yeah, well, I don't know, but it was a brilliant article, and it was right. And there's like, you know, teen murder rates are down, teen suicide is up, teen pregnancy is down because teens aren't having sex. They're not meeting each other. They're not falling in love. They're not connected, and they're not having sex. So teen pregnancy is actually down.
Teen pregnancy is down, and drinking, though, right? Teen drinking and whatnot. I mean, the piece, I have it here, I think, if I remember, I read this too, was that generationally, she noticed something dramatically different with this generation, and it had not to do with being online. It had to do with actually the portability of phones and all the apps that were developed via phones. It's interesting. I sort of like thought like, oh, Myla does not have this problem. Like, she's out of the house constantly, to a certain extent. Slime is far more dangerous. Are you familiar with slime?
Did you
avoid the whole slime thing?
I missed slime, thank God.
Let me tell you something. Slime is, I'm going to sue the slime, the people who made slime, who invented it. I'm going to sue them.
We had slime in our day.
Yeah.
It came in a garbage can.
Yes,
remember?
I remember that.
A little garbage can.
It's not the slime itself,
awesome.
Although the slime itself is a problem. There is not a single flat surface in my home that is not in some way like have
slimed?
A film of like dried glue on it. And on top of that, now Myla has containers of slime that are like larger than a bread box, and they're like this. They're like 24 by
like a fish tank.
Yeah, almost like those plastic containers you get at, like, you know, whatever it is, the hardware store, like that you store books and like huge toys in, are full of slime.
And it's got slime in there.
And she sits there and she's just like constantly. And it's like, it's as if a giant is sitting in your living room snapping half a pack of gum in their mouth. And in my apartment, it echoes throughout the place. And so, like, there's no place that she can be where I'm not hearing that sound. And it's now gotten to the point where it drives me insane. No. He's not. I mean, is my son at age 4 and a half going around eating Play-Doh? No, I say, don't eat that. He doesn't eat it. He's not. What do you think? It's been a long time since you had a kid that age.
I can't remember.
Yeah, no, he knows. I mean, he's just like, oh, Myla's obsessed with slime. That's what he says all the time. She's obsessed with slime. And it's really bad. But wait a second.
Saul can talk that like that? Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
Saul, to me, is like a tiny baby.
He's like a tiny baby, but much bigger and more articulate.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, I'll send you pictures.
That makes me feel old.
I'm sending you pictures. Yeah. Believe me. Now, wait a second. So that's it?
You know, my baby,
this is all,
my
we went through 6'1". All of this to just come to the point where I say Saul can actually talk, and you go, that's why I feel old? Why do you feel like an adult?
I told you, because I was in the sandwich all summer.
Okay.
And I feel like I grew up. I didn't feel like I was kicking back with a Fresca in my bathing suit, you know, shucking corn with the 8-year-olds and my parents being like, hey, it was just, I don't know. It's just, am I going to sound spoiled by saying that? It's just, you grow up, I'm middle aged.
I understand. I just like, I'm just trying to piece this together. You have such a specific notion of what not being an adult is, and it involving Fresca.
I get stressed
all
the time. And
I understand. I had a similar situation with my dad over the summer.
Oh, really?
Yep. But
did you have to?
We were around. My sister got the bulk of the work, but everything turned out fine. He's fine now. But I'll tell you, it was a summer of lack of Fresca, if you will.
My mother said it was a summer of complicated surprises.
Fair enough.
But so that was pretty good. But what?
Hasn't Donald Trump ruined everything now, though? I mean, on some level, hasn't Donald Trump ruined summer and Fresca?
Yes, you know what?
It takes a Fresca that's like a bitter aftertaste now.
Yeah, here's why. Because there is everybody all over the worldwide is going through, oh, my parents are old, my kid is getting into, you know, drinking with his friends, don't have a job, I do have a job, it's stressful, whatever. But usually there isn't this undercurrent of a dull, like, terrible drum beating. And so all the time there's this, like, boom, boom, boom. Because every time you look at Twitter, anytime you turn on the radio, anytime you glance at the newspaper, it's just such horrendous policy and Betsy DeVos. And I mean, because that's the thing, is that I could get so angry about Betsy DeVos that it could ruin my day anyway, no matter what's going on.
Right.
And it's all the time, and it never stops.
Well, I mean, maybe if we're lucky, the North Koreans will develop an intercontinental missile that will be able to. No.
God, no. I mean, I don't even know what happened today. Did anything? I haven't checked in really today.
Last night they fired a missile over Japan, but I wouldn't worry about it.
No, really? Again?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, I hate
I know.
To
well,
the
DACA stuff, though, is crazy because, I mean, because now it's like, well, right, that's the right way to think about DACA, but just a week ago, everybody was.
Well, who knows where it's going? Who knows? And it's this is, I just, yeah, it is really heartbreaking contemplating like this sort of just. I mean, talk about a drum beating. You know, for folks who are most vulnerable in our society, that that drum has like a a trance beat, 1/16th, and it's just bum, 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 constant and significantly louder and far more threatening. But it is, there's a dull ache quality to all of this. And that is why, Isabel, I am hoping that your suggestion for a streaming film, do you have one?
Well, yeah, but I don't know if you're going to like it, but did you like Hasan Minhaj? Did you watch it?
I did not watch that yet.
Come on now.
What was that again? I haven't been able to watch anything, Isabel. It has been.
You could watch it with Myla.
Oh, yeah. Wait, what was it again? It was Hasan
Minhaj. It's Hasan Minhaj. His comedy.
Wait, I was told that was inappropriate for Myla.
Really?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I don't think it is. Well, you know what? I'm the king of. I took a 12-year-old to a sausage party by mistake.
I'm not even sure I know what that means. Is that a movie?
It was a movie, an animated movie about food. And I was like, oh, cool. That sounds awesome. Who's in it? It was like some Jesse Eisenberg or some awesome person. And I was like, that's great. I'm going to take Thomas. And we went, and it was probably the most, it was all hamburgers and hot dogs and pineapples in an orgy. And it was the most graphic thing I've ever seen anyway. Yeah, sausage party.
Hold on. I think Matt is going to put a clip of it up on.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, wait a second. Oh, my gosh. The Hasan Minhaj, we just watched the stand-up special. That's what you suggested, right?
Yeah, that's what I suggested.
Okay.
And it's so good.
Yeah, I can't get Milo to watch stand-up. Stand-up is a very tough, is a tough road for me to hoe. But here is Sausage Party, the official trailer. Yeah.
Ketchup, mustard, sausages and buns.
The only thing food wants is to go home with us.
Get them straight, boys. Hey, look at this. We've got one.
Oh, yes, we're chosen.
Pick us.
Yes.
It's all food. Psyched to go. Hot dogs and glamour buns.
Brenda,
what?
You and me.
I'm so happy the gods put our packages together.
It's because we belong together.
It's like we were made for each other.
Get ready, boys!
What?
Feels amazing.
Hot dogs. Food will finally learn.
I'm the first to enter eternity.
Oh, potato! Way to go, buddy!
The truth.
The pipes are caught. Oh, Jesus, me eyes!
Oh, my God. They're
skin.
Slicing the...
What?
This is... I'm finding this disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Oops.
Oh, my God. There's a... all right, it's a positive. Wait, Isabel, this is an incredibly dark film. Like, where they're.
It was so dark. It was so sexual. It was so. It was. I'm the worst parent on the Upper West Side. I am. I was sitting there with a 12-year-old, and I was like, oh my God. It was packed with adults and moose.
Did people think that he was your date or something? Like, what weird, I mean, like,
he was, it was Peter and I, we left. We were like, oh my God, Thomas, we're so sorry. Like, are you okay? And he was like, oh my God. I mean, he's the third kid, you know? So
yeah.
He's seen it all. We're watching. Well, this is what my recommendation was going to be, but it's also going to make me sound like a bad mother, but he's older now than 12, but we're watching Girls.
You're watching Girls with?
Yeah.
And were you suggesting I watch that with Mila?
No, I'm not. I'm actually not. It's just so good. I just am having a real love affair for Lena Dunham.
Really?
Yeah, because I watched the whole series, and now I'm watching it again, and maybe actually going through the summer of all these teenagers and knowing what they do and what they're interested in and what they know about because of the internet, really. I'm like, okay, instead of putting everything on lockdown, which everything already is on lockdown, but like all the restrictions on their phone and everything for pornography, because, you know, they're walking around with pornography. Just all they have to do is put in, you know, boobs into a search drive, and they could get anything.
You don't need to
tell
me that.
They're walking around with it.
Why?
Oh my goodness!
Got so many computers in this office.
So anyway, I really kind of trust Lena Dunham because also she is talking about anxiety in the world so eloquently, I think, and she herself has anxiety, and so. I've been tuning into her and then with her sort of advocacy stuff, I'm now tuned into the show in a different way, watching it the second time and with the teenagers. And she's so open, and she's so, as this sort of beguiling innocence too, but she's really smart. And I find it a good, like, talk about being old. I think if people that are however old she is, she's like 20 years, almost 20 years younger than us. No. She's probably 30 something. Anyway, or talking like that and making television like that, then I think that's probably a good sign of our times. So it's giving me a little hope.
Oh, well, that's good. But, you know, she can't, the show's over.
I know, but I'm watching it again on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
You know, that it's on Netflix. You can see it if you never did.
I saw parts of it. I probably saw over the years like a half a dozen episodes. I mean, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I have to admit, like, I did tune into some of it to be like, what's going on with the kids these days?
I know. You know, and there's like a lot of nudity, which is interesting, and because it's very
I fast forward through that
just
stuff.
Real.
I feel like it's all
well,
gratuitous.
If I'm watching with a teenager, I'm like, okay, here we go. Well, it is. I'm like, they're going to be naked. Ah,
you need that for HBO. You got to have some nudity in HBO. That's the bottom line. If you're, there's no shows that are going to get on HBO without some nudity. That's
Game of Thrones is less nudity now than it used to be.
Yeah, it's, you know, they've lost the nuance and the nudity.
More dragons. Less
so wait, is that the recommendation? Girls on Netflix?
Well, that's just what I've been watching.
All right, fair enough.
But I would like to give a shout out to Girls, and if you haven't seen it, I think that you should. And I'd like to give a shout out to Lena Dunham and to, you know, Jenny Kohler. I can never really pronounce her last name.
Who's Jenny Kohler?
She's a co-writer.
Oh, okay. All right, good for her. All right, fair enough.
Yeah. Anyway, so let me just do
my weekly plug for Wildkratts. Saul said to me this morning as we were drawing a red fox before he went to school.
Ooh.
He said, you know, red foxes do not hibernate in the winter. And I was like, they don't?
No,
he said,
why you
he
can
said,
see them
they
in
do
Central
not,
Park.
They do not make, they do not hibernate and they don't go into caves. And I was like, they don't? And he goes, no, they curl up in a ball to keep warm. And I'm like, where did you hear that? And he goes, Wildkratts. I learned it on Wildkratts.
What's Wildkratts?
Wildkratts is probably the best show on television as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I'm going to watch it because if you say it's a nature show, then I'm down.
Middle-aged Canadian men who always wear green and blue respectively. And they start off like they're biologists, I think, who look at like an animal. And then they turn into a cartoon figure who adopts the powers of the animal. And Nikki says it's a little shamanistic. And they
wait
then
a minute.
Explore,
I'm 100% gonna watch that.
They explore well, I'm not it's really not meant for you. But I mean it's you know it's but
is it meant for 5-year olds or something?
Yeah. And you know, we go to the zoo and Saul's like, oh, that's a gray horned owl. They don't have a sense of smell. So the skunks can't spray them and keep them from preying on them. There's also a lot of that, like Saul's now totally into the whole predator prey thing.
But that's genius. I love that. Well, Moose will still love that, even though he's 13. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing that I'd like to give you a tip on.
Yeah.
Is ready for this? Mm-hmm. Hold on. It's two of my favorite guys, and it's a YouTube guys, and their names are Rhett and Link.
Rhett?
Google.
And Link.
Rhett and Link. And Milo.
Oh
Levitt,
yeah, I've seen that. I've seen these guys. He's got a big YouTube.
They're
big YouTube channel.
Huge, and they say, "Can you sandwich it, or can you cookie it?" And they make all this crazy stuff into like, "Can you budget? Can you, you know?"
So that's I've always wondered, like, who is it that watches these guys? And it's a kids show.
God. Yeah, but I could watch Rhett and Link all day long. I could watch 17 in a row.
They're so funny.
Huge. Rhett and Link. I have a T-shirt of Rhett and Link. They're friends. They're nice. But they eat all this gross
stuff.
They
get millions of views per video.
Yeah. They're huge.
Wow.
Rhett and Link. But they're kind of, it's not science really, but they're, I don't know. They're funny. They make me laugh. I was thinking if my kid grew up to be like Rhett and Link, I'd be okay with that.
Wow, man, are they breaking the bucks in? That's I know. Matt's looking at this, just going like, "Holy crap!"
I know. Here's the thing. I just plugged. I don't know why. I'm thinking I never have once thought about it in my whole life that I'm actually saying things that would maybe people would watch them. So it's like plugging something. Do you know that I've never thought about that once?
What?
Like, if I go on the Majority Report and say, oh, you should watch this, and people might watch it. And so it's like plugging something, but I never even thought about that.
Right.
It's all just been real.
Well, I mean, we like to keep it real here. I'm not sure what...
I know, but not like Lena Dunham needs any more people to watch. I mean,
she probably needs less famous. She probably needs less people to watch her.
Well, I love her, and so that's all I want to say about that. And I love Rhett and Link, and
I think
I'm going to love that Wildcats.
Wildcrat? Yeah, that's their name.
That's a great name.
They're the Krat brothers. It's from Canada, so you get away with a lot of that stuff. Isabel, we love you, and it's so glad to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm so glad to talk to you, and I love you guys, and here we go into fall, which I'm always happy about.
I just want to tell you, Kelly has left the show.
I know, and you know how I know that?
How?
Because someone was like, how come you didn't ask Isabel Gillies to be on the show when Kelly was leaving?
Well,
and I was like, oh.
I will tell you, she is actually, Kelly is in the other room because her internet is down apparently at where she works, and she's here. She probably doesn't hear me, but I don't blame you, Isabel, for asking that question.
I'm just saying that that's too bad because she...
It is too bad. It really is, but...
All right. Well, if anybody can get me a job on Bob's Burgers, I'd appreciate it, and it would probably help me in my parenting. But
noted.
Noted.
But the offer still stands.
Duly noted.
Anytime you need to throw the gauntlet down for the boys.
I'm going to call on Hugo.
You got it. Isabel Gillies, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. See you next
time.
Bye. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye. All right. There it is, folks. Isabel Gillies. Kelly did not come out of the she's going to pretend like she didn't hear. So, all right. Well, we have a Jimmy Reef Cake song. We'll have probably an extended free part of the show today, and we'll do a small member show. We got Kemp Champion in the house. And also, I would just remind you, this program relies on your membership to even do the free show. If we were smart business people here, we would have just done a 15-minute Friday show instead of a 2-hour Friday show. But don't punish us for not being business savvy. Go to jointhemajorityreport.com right now, become a member, and you'll get even more content, plus you keep the show, and it will be commercial-free. So that's a bonus. Jointhemajorityreport.com. All right. So as is the tradition, Jimmy Reef Cake has been taking an extended summer, almost an endless summer. But he is back with a vengeance with this tune. What's it called?
You Are So Hypocritical.
You Are So Hypocritical. Now, of course, Jimmy Reef Cake's blog website is allthehypocrisy.com. So this may be tied into
that. It's a theme for him.
It's a theme for him. The Jimmy Reefer Cake has other themes, but the hypocrisy is one of the other ones.
Bernie Sanders getting the support of the establishment Democrats for single-payer health care. But flashback to Hillary Clinton against Obama.
And then you see a campaign that has the worst kind of tactics, reminiscent of the same sort of Republican attacks on Democrats. Well, I am here to say that it is not only wrong, but it is undermining core Democratic principles. Since when do Democrats attack one another on universal health care? I thought we were trying to realize Harry Truman's dream. I thought this campaign finally gave us an opportunity to put together a coalition to achieve universal health care.
But in the campaign against Bernie,
health emergencies can't wait for us to have some theoretical debate about some better idea that will never, ever come to pass.
Oh, Hillary Clinton, I didn't think I'd have to sing about you again, but here it is. You are so hypocritical to me. You are so hypocritical to me, yeah. Can't you see how you're the reason for my website? Oh, the hypocrisy.com. You are so hypocritical to me.
Wow.
That's my all-time favorite.
There's an earnestness and a genuineness and really a tenderness that comes through in that song.
And a restraint.
And also, of course, a certain amount of self-promotion, but that's what made it earnest too, and it made it feel authentic. And research. He's going out and he's doing research on that stuff. That was a good one. I mean, it's. But yes, great thing, Medicare for all. All right, folks, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY, get 10% off. Also, if you buy your crap from Amazon, the least you can do, skim a little bit off the top, go to majoritycommentkickback.com. If you buy your stuff from Jet, majoritycommentkickback.com, buy through those links. You will notice no difference. We will get a kickback. It's magic. I will be here on Monday, as I will be taking, I think, at least Thursday off for the Jewish New Year. And we will see you then if you are a freebie listener. But if you're a member, see you in just a moment. 646-257-3920. We'll be right back.